we're going to completely lose the service. I've got to cover a subject today, and probably all we'll do before we eat is cover some preliminary verses, okay? Lay a foundation, ever how you want to call it, you know. I hate to say prelims because sometimes they're miserable. I used to go to wrestling matches at Davie High School, not the stupid WWE. I was never that retarded. But I'd go to Davie High School and they'd have them prelims, and that was all of Jerry's kids that couldn't wrestle, and they let them wrestle prelims. Matthew and Zach and people like that would wrestle in the prelim. And so that was miserable to have to watch that, so I don't like the word prelims. But Romans chapter 8, we'll read the first 14 verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and let me encourage you, if you hadn't ever listened to the message by Brother Asquith on his website on the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, let me encourage you to please go in there and listen to that. A great message. Did you hear that, Brother Asquith? And then I'll take the love offering at Advance, North Carolina. He said, and hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, why couldn't it do it? Because it was weak, and that it was weak. Through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. In us who? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That'll help you figure out who you are real quick. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, I said Wednesday night, don't tell me what you did last night. And don't tell me about your nice clothes that you got up and put on this morning. Some of you brushed your teeth for the first time all week. And some of you still ain't putting no deodorant on. God bless your nasty, stinking heart. But what have you done for the last 2 months? That lets you know what kind of person you are. Huh? It's easy to get up on Sunday morning, grab your Bible and your church clothes and your little skirt, which is probably more fabric than most of us has wore all week, but, and act holy and spiritual and godly, right? But he said, those that are of the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. That's on Monday, ladies and gentlemen, and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. Friday night out on the town, huh? When people hang out on them hoods and become hood ornaments. I tell you something about somebody. I've seen that before. It's still going. I'm still popular. He said, but for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. I'm not God's enemy. Okay, tell God he's a liar. For he is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Without faith it's impossible to please him. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, that's the only way. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, guess what? He's none of his. I think the Sunday school teacher said that. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Put this stinking thing to death. Put it down, man. Now here's a good verse. For as many, this is God, okay? Just pretend for a second that your snaggle tooth, rotten tooth, ugly, fat, out of shape preacher ain't standing up here. God's standing up here, and this is what God's got to say. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Do you know what God just said? If you're not led by the Spirit, you're not his. Now we're going to look at that contrast. I don't want to get off, but we're going to look at some contrast today. The thought of the day comes from verse 6. This is the thought of the day. And we'll probably deal with verse 6 in the second service. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The thought of the day is the choice of life and peace versus death. There's two choices that we have to make. And it's basically one choice, but it's two objects that make up the choice. Are you going to enjoy life and peace through the Spirit of God, or are you going to follow your flesh and live in death? We're going to look at death. Verse number 1 says this. There is therefore now no condemnation. Now most preachers and most liberals and most sissies and most little compromisers, they usually end up stopping that verse right there. John Davis, shut that door for me real good, please. I'm afraid of the boogeyman, and that's a big enough crack for him to get in. Zach, most of them stop right there. Oh, boy, I'm telling you, thank God, ain't you glad? Oh, hallelujah. There's therefore no condemnation. You can live in fornication. There's no condemnation. You can drink all you want. There's no condemnation. You can smoke dope. There's no condemnation. You can do whatever you want to do and justify. There's therefore now no condemnation. Listen, that verse don't stop right there, but that's where people stop it.
Yeah.
Because they want to live in sin.
Yeah.
There's a condition to that promise, ladies and gentlemen, to those that have no condemnation. There is a condemnation.
Yeah.
I don't give a flip if you're saved or lost. You're not going to live in sin and get by.
Right.
There is therefore now no condemnation to who? To them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. People that's walking in the Spirit, hey friend, pillow your head tonight with some sweet satisfaction of knowing that there ain't no condemnation for you, because you've done exactly what God said to do. You've abstained from all appearances of evil. You've separated yourself and from the spots of this old world. And you've lived holy and godly unto Jesus. You're pleasing in His sight. But I'm telling you, friend, if you live under this flesh, if you satisfy the lust thereof, if you satisfy the lust of this old eye, I'm telling you, friend, there's condemnation for that person, saved and lost. So stupid junk, man, justifying sin. Can't justify sin. You think for half a second God's going to justify any sin when His Son done all He done, when He was made sin for you and I? I'm telling you, He was hung on a cruel cross, not because I have no condemnation, but because of stinking, nasty, filthy, rotten sin. God don't tolerate sin. We know that as a child of God, there isn't a chance for a soul to ever go to hell. I believe in once saved, always saved, and I can prove it by the Bible, by rightly dividing the Bible. I can prove once saved, always saved. But I don't care if you saved or lost, you get saved and you live in sin, there's condemnation. Because does not your same Bible say that He chastens every child of His? Every child that He receives, you get out of line with God, son, you start living a life of sin, God's going to take you to the haystack. I'm telling you, He's going to take you to the woodshed. I'm not happy about that. That doesn't make me, whoa, I'm going to preach that message. No, friend, it's just reality. It's the truth. It's Bible. It's God. God ain't no little sissy, prissy, pansy-fied, tipping through the tulips and, oh, that ain't Him, friend. He's a holy God. He's a holy God. He's number one. He's holy. Everything about Him is holy. Anything less than holiness, God's not pleased with. God's not pleased with mediocre Christianity. He's not pleased with straddling the fence. He's not pleased with one little pet sin in our life. None of that pleases Him. Holiness is what He is. That's the epitome of God. Understand this. If you're not saved, it doesn't matter how hard you try. You cannot walk after the Spirit. You cannot walk after the Spirit. The Spirit of God doesn't dwell in you. You cannot follow Him. You can walk in obedience to the Word of God.
You can hear the Word of God. You can read the Word of God. And God can open that book up to you and let you see some things. And you can be obedient to the things that God says. But I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. You, no matter how clean you're living and how right you're doing, how much you're obeying, you cannot walk after the Spirit if you're not saved. We've got a bunch of goats today trying to walk in the Spirit. I ain't being mean. I'm just being honest. Let me say that somehow in America, I guess because of money or popularity, or, you know, you want to grow a nice church size, you know, get a big old number in your church. Somehow, some way, we've left off the fear of God in America. And then if we ain't left off the fear of God, we've changed the meaning of it. We've got some Greek definition of what the fear of God means. I'm going to tell you what the fear of God means. It means the same stinking thing I did to my mom and daddy when I was a boy. I was scared, friend. Do you hear me? I was afraid to do wrong. I did wrong. But I knew if mom and daddy got me, if they caught me, if they found out, that's going to beat the devil out of me. Friend, it's the same way with God. I'm His child, and I can't get by with nothing. I'm afraid to sin against God. I'm afraid of the wrath of God, the judgment of God, the chastening hand of God in my life. That bothers me, friend. Sure it does. God's not going to tolerate a wicked lifestyle. I don't give a flip who it is. I don't care how fancy you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what house you live in, what walk of life, what side of the train tracks. I don't care what your background is. It don't make any difference to God, friend. God does not accept wicked lifestyles in any shape or fashion. It's going to be holy or nothing. That's right. Bible teaches us about living carnal. To live carnal, and we can go into deep definitions, but we'll just keep it on the surface. We'll keep it shallow. To live carnal is to live fleshy. Fleshy. It means that your flesh has cravings. And hey, ladies and gentlemen, we might as well turn the halos off, because every stinking one of us has cravings in our flesh. Our flesh loves sin. I love nasty sin. You hear me? I mean, go ahead, friend. I'm the pastor of this church, and I'm here to tell you, my flesh loves it as wicked as it comes, as nasty as it comes, as much as it comes, as ugly as it comes, as dreadful. You can't get nasty enough for my flesh. I like it. There's a new law. There's a Spirit of God living inside of me. Glory to God. I'm telling you, He said, sin shall not have dominion over you. Ladies and gentlemen, glory be to God. You can stack sin up in these seats on both sides, and we can walk right through the middle of it. And the Bible said, those that are led by the Spirit, sin shall not have dominion over you. You can walk right through the middle of sin, come out the other side clean. Right? Because God, the Spirit of God, gives you the power to overcome these things. A Sunday school teacher said a few weeks ago in a private conversation amongst a few people, one of the evidences of a work of grace in a person's life is the power to overcome. If you can't overcome, ladies and gentlemen, it's because the Spirit of that power doesn't dwell on the inside of you, and you can't put it in your flesh. That's why the 12-step programs don't work. That's why people cling and hold on with everything they got. I tell you this, Debbie, I'm not trying today. I'm trusting. I'm not trying. Man, my God, my trials, my efforts has failed. I'm trusting in the Lord. Amen. If He can't do it, it ain't going to get done. Carnal is to live fleshy. It's to fulfill the desires of the flesh. Huh? You fulfilling the lust of your flesh? You fulfilling your fleshly desires? Then you're following after the flesh. You're living carnal. And there's death awaiting for you. That's right. And we're going to cover that death. Let me say this. There's things that you can do in this life that ain't wrong. Thank God. Making money ain't wrong. There's a lot that's right. Now, you can't fornicate. You can't commit adultery. You can't drink. Okay. There is no way. Son, you can hold a Bible in one hand and a joint in the other, and the joint's wrong. You can quote the Bible while you're smoking dope, and smoking dope is still wrong. There ain't no way of doing something that ain't right. But ain't nothing wrong with making money. God, this sorry bunch of Americans ought to get out and make some money. Right?
Quit standing in the welfare lines. Quit depending on the president to pay for your sex change. Bless God. One old liberal said, you ought to figure out what you are before you go in the military. I said, hey, man, he might be from California, but he's got a little bit of sense.
Figure it out before you get that age.
Amen. I mean, if you, ladies and gentlemen, it's according to how you have to use the bathroom. Sometimes you can figure it out.
About as vulgar as I'm going to get on that matter.
Meet me after church when you get stupider than that, I promise you. Making money's good. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I said that because men, young men, males, those are the males' gender, or get up, bless God, and go to work.
Yeah.
They're not have soft hands. The strongest muscle in their body will not be their thumb. Pressing X's and O's and all, you know, poof, 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 poof. Muscle bound right there, son. Most of this generation, I'm not being ugly, I'm being honest. Most of them muscle bound right there. And I tell you, you want to find out how muscle bound they are, jump on Twitter and see, boy, bless God, they hit them phone buttons and they'll whoop everybody in the world with that phone, son.
It's about all they can do.
Or to get up in the morning, man, thank God, go to work, break your back, sweat, bleed, hallelujah, cut yourself, get some, bless God, dirt on you. Hey, man, smell bad when you go home. I mean, man, friend, thank God, ain't nothing wrong with getting up in a hard day's work. Amen. I worked more by the time I was 15 than most people do by the time they're 50 anymore.
That's right.
Now God's given me a little bit of wisdom just through life, and I quit working so hard and I make them retarded children of mine do the hard work. Man.
They sit back there and laugh. I give them something.
That's right. Would you believe there's nothing wrong with fishing? There's nothing wrong with hunting. There's nothing wrong with playing golf. There's nothing wrong with playing baseball. There's nothing wrong, baby girl, with going shopping.
Playing cards.
Huh?
Playing cards?
Oh, no, we ain't going there.
Everything. There's nothing right about playing cards with a deck of cards. I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, what he said that, because now I got to say something. That joker in the deck of cards is a spit in the face of Jesus Christ. Man to come up with them cards, took that joker, and he spit in the face of Jesus Christ, and he made a mockery with every stinking card in that deck. He made a mockery of the things of God. You don't believe? Listen, listen, you go on there and you check old Don Green out. He'll talk to you all about a deck of cards on YouTube. You can hear all the details and go back and check out all the history and find out what he's saying to be true or lie. I'm so glad, Mama, you didn't let us have a deck of cards in the house. Mm. I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
I'm so glad, thank God, you said no to some things. Didn't mean we didn't get on the school bus and them cats had some, I promise you that. But I'm glad, thank God, there was some no's in my home.
Amen. Amen. We didn't sit around. Listen, boy, we didn't sit around. Get off of this. We didn't sit around and do this stuff because, number one, you didn't play. We didn't have a place. We had a tar.
We didn't have a tar. We didn't have a TV.
You got to have a TV before you can have them things. We had a TV
sitting over there, Michael, but it didn't have a cord on it. It wouldn't even make a good monitor. You couldn't even hook the VCR up to it and watch a godly movie. Didn't have a cord.
We get to look at the TV, and that's all we got to do. Man, that's a pretty wood TV over there with that glass on the front of it. It was torture. If the Spirit of God is leading a human being in another direction and you're out there fishing, then you're living fleshly. There ain't nothing wrong with fishing. But when fishing gets in the way of godliness, when fishing gets in the way of following after the Spirit. See, there's a many times, Zach, when I did play a lot of golf and I got under conviction about it because here's what God told me. You're out here spending 4 hours a day playing golf and people's dying and going to hell. I really cared about sinners, didn't I? It takes about 4 hours a day to play a good round of golf, and then plus the time you put in working and practicing and trying to be good at it. A lot of work. You know what? I figured out, man, just go play golf and don't put all that time. Maybe the Lord will let you go play. Listen, I did some things yesterday. Me and Matt got together and went and did some things. I'm not trying to be spiritual. I'm just telling you the truth. Me and Matt went and did some things yesterday. You know what I had to do before we went? I had to pray and ask God if I could. Because it's Saturday, Amber. And today's Sunday. And I didn't want to do anything to grieve God. I was prepared for the holy day, you understand? I didn't want to grieve God. I didn't want to start living fleshly on Saturday. I don't want to do it on Monday. But for God's sakes, I want to prepare for today, even yesterday, friend. When you start doing the things that you want to do over the things the Spirit of God wants you to do, that's when those good things become evil. And nothing wrong with them things. Let's look at verse 3. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Please understand this, church. I'm trying my best to lay a foundation. I really feel like the message God wants me to preach is in the second part of this service, but this is the foundation. And let me just get through it. I want you to understand that the law wanted to make men righteous. God put the law in place, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to say this one more time. Every civil law known to man, you can take the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom. You can take the Bibles out of school. You can take away the prayer. But I want you to remember this. Every civil law known to man came from God Almighty. That's why you can't walk down at the Walmart, start picking stuff up and sticking it in your pocket. It wasn't because some judge said that. It's because God in heaven said, "Thou shalt not steal." You can't walk out there to your neighbor that just ticked you off, take a gun and shoot him in the head, and they pat you on the back. Why? Because God said, "Thou shalt not kill." Every civil law we know came from God. They try to get rid of it, friend. You know what? It's not going to work until the Holy Ghost is taken out of the way. And that spirit of iniquity, that lawlessness takes over. You can already, ladies and gentlemen, see that lawlessness taking root and starting its effect. Because the police are no longer the police, they're the enemy. And man, I'm telling you, they can be shot like everybody else. There's no regard for the police. There's no respect. And we're tearing down that wall of authority that they have. To set up that coming of the Antichrist. The law wanted to make you and I holy. The law wanted to make us righteous. You know what? The law failed. It couldn't do it. Zach touched on it this morning. It ain't the law's fault. It ain't the law's fault that it couldn't make you righteous. You were too weak in the flesh to let it do its job. You couldn't hold up your end of the bargain. I couldn't hold up my end of the bargain. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in here ain't murdered. Everybody in here ain't done all those commandments. But I'll bet you anything, everybody in here's told a lie. And if you told a lie, you're guilty of every stinking law God ever penned down in that blessed book. Therefore, you deserve hell, friend. Look at me. There's not a person in here that doesn't deserve hell. Give him a granddaughter. I can't get past it. Good night. Sweet little old Gracie deserves to die and go to the worst, deepest, darkest, hottest part of hell. This sweet little old beautiful girl. She don't deserve God. She don't deserve heaven. She don't deserve to be saved. I'm telling you, it's the mercy of God. It's the grace of God. There's nothing that she's done. There's nothing she can do. There's nothing that makes her worthy.
That's right.
Go down to an altar today. Pray a little old stupid putrefied pissy prayer. Means nothing to God but seek reputation, seek words. Stephen, they'll pat him on the back and say, "You're saved." I ain't trying to be mean. Don't you hear me and hear me well, and I hope you can understand this. I don't think nobody in the stinking world saved but me. I think I'm the only person in the world that's saved.
Every once in a while, I see some good fruit in people's life, and it tells me, the Bible tells me, and I'm sick and tired of telling people they're saved. God forbid that I tell another person they're saved. God forbid. I even have a man to look at me. A man big enough to eat me, bless God. And he looked at me and said, "Do you think I'm saved?" I said, "Don't ask me that." He said, "No, answer me. Do you think I'm saved?" I said, "Please don't ask me that." He said, "No, I just want you to tell me." I said, "Not for a million years do I think you're saved." Smokes, dope, drinks, whores, lives like a devil, day in and day out and day in and day out, year in and year out, year after year after year. Do you think I'm saved? Go down there, bless God, to the other Baptist church. They'll pat you on the back. They'll reduce the grace of God. They'll reduce Calvary. They'll tell you you're saved. Yeah. Not me.
Yeah.
Right. It's good, Steve. Amen.
Let the Lord tell them.
That's right. The Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit. Woo! That I am a child of God. It's good, ladies and gentlemen, to be in a position where you can hear the sweet Spirit of God cry out to Father. It's good to hear Him call you His child. It's good to get that sweet word from God Almighty. It's good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Law couldn't do it. It was weak through my flesh. The law's good. The law's holy. You'll never get saved without it. We're saving people today without it. Mm-hmm. We're bypassing the laws of God. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, you can shut every courtroom in America today if you shut down the laws. Mm-hmm. Huh? If there's no law, why should there be a judge? If there's no law, why should there be a courtroom? If there's no law, why is there any kind of correction, judgment, or condemnation? Why? How can I ever get this thing right if there's no law to convict me? Show me the error of my way. Let me tell you something. I said it Wednesday night, and I got pretty ugly just a second ago because she deserves to be in the deepest, darkest, hottest part of hell. If God did right, He would put her in the darkest, hottest part of hell. She should go to hell and say, "You are right. I deserve this. This is where I ought to be." But because God sacrificed His Son, because the Godhead was torn apart on Calvary, because God sent Him by the means of a manger, because God drew you, because God sent the Holy Ghost, because God gave you the Word, God deserves that little baby.
Yes, hallelujah.
Right. God deserves her. God deserves you. God deserves every soul on planet Earth. I'm telling you, friend, we ought to walk after the Spirit, babe. We ought to say yes to God. We ought to let our lives bring glory and honor to Him. We ought to make sure everything we do magnifies His name and gives Him glory. Because why? God deserves it.
That's right.
God deserves it. He deserves all the praise and all the honor and all the glory of all the people of all the earth. Let me tell you something, friend. I don't give a flip how far California runs with it. The TV networks, the little televangelists, the charismatics, the freaks, the fags, the fruits. It doesn't matter what you call them. Friend, when they throw them little old brown-eyed girls on TV and them little old boys with them pot bellies, let me tell you something, friend. Them little starving children on the other side of the world, they hate God. They don't want God. They don't want God. They know God. Let me tell you something, what the Bible said. He's put His Word, His law in every heart.
Yes, sir.
There's not a soul born on planet Earth that don't have the Word of God put in their heart.
That's right. You preaching, brother. Amen.
When that man dies, listen to me, friend. You never have to send a missionary. A preacher never has to go that way. There's enough, Miss Tiffany, of this thing called consciousness. Our conscience, the God of all glory, puts something in a man and it teaches a man right from wrong. Nobody on that side of the world will ever go to hell undeserving. Every one of them little starving kids have turned their backs on a holy God. You know what them kids deserve?
They deserve to starve and go to hell. Isn't that sad? Them little pot-bellied kids deserve to starve and go to hell. That's too good for them, ladies and gentlemen. I got news for you. You and I deserve the same treatment.
That's right.
We all deserve to starve and go to hell. I mean, man, if we have any sense about us whatsoever, every time your eye offends you, you're to pluck one out. Sooner or later, you'll quit getting them offended. You'll quit letting them offend you.
Yeah.
Ain't that what God said? If that hand's going to keep you from going, hey, cut that sucker off. You'd be better to go to hell without it.
Tell God. Tell God what a fool he is.
Tell God what a blooming idiot he is. Go ahead. Do it with your mouth because we do it with our heart. We don't believe the word of God. This is America, friend. I'm better than that. I'm somebody. I've got myself health. I mean, man, I'm doing pretty good. I've turned over all my leaves. I'm trying. I'm doing right, man. I've obeyed this. And I've done. Let me tell you something, friend. Outside of God, we deserve hell.
That's right.
The very best that we can do.
I got good news. That same God is not willing that any should perish. It's not his will. God don't want you to go there. He done everything in the world. He did everything that it takes for you not to go. That's why he's worthy. That's why he deserves you. Man,
we don't deserve to live in big houses.
We don't deserve to drive nice cars, and we don't deserve to have nice clothes. We deserve to be in hell. But there's a God in heaven that blesses us, ladies and gentlemen, beyond measure. And he said, I'll feed you and I'll clothe you and I'll put a roof over your head. And he said that you will not come to me that you might have life.
God help us.
You will not come to me.
Modern day salvation has reduced God down to man. Right. I sat in here Wednesday night, some of you wasn't here, and I wanted you to hear it. Listen to me. You better believe it. We've reduced salvation down to a bank robbery.
John David, there ain't a bit of difference between robbing a bank, getting saved, and the average church today. Not a bit, Michael. Miss Tony, you looked at me funny. I'm glad you did. Because all a bank robber does is rolls up to the bank with a gun and he takes something for nothing. In church, all we do is roll up to an altar and we try to take something for nothing. Same difference. Trying to get something for nothing. I mean, man, I'm telling you, God's the one that's getting nothing for something.
Well, we reduced it. Contrary to many people's false notion that Jesus could sin, I like what the Sunday school teacher said. Don't you ever believe for a second that Jesus could sin. Could God sin? It's that simple. God can't sin. Don't listen to that heresy. I mean, man, they've tried their best to reduce Jesus Christ and God down to man, down to our level. We don't need that. We need to be lifted up to his level. We need to be brought up, thank God.
Contrary to what people think, I don't believe Jesus could have sinned. God was in the flesh and he had power to conquer sin. Golly. Those that are saved by the grace of God have the Spirit of God living in them. Is that so? Somebody answer me. Is that so? Yes, sir.
Yes.
Which gives every child of God the power to overcome sin.
That's why he said sin shall not have dominion over you. Don't tell me that junk. I don't want to hear it. You're following the flesh. You're not following the Spirit. If you can't overcome that, you're fleshly, you're carnal. Not spiritual. Nothing spiritual about that at all. Verse 5, and this is where I'll stop. I'll stop with verse 5. Verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. I shouldn't even have to say nothing about that. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. This nasty flesh of ours does not like righteousness. My flesh don't like doing right. My flesh don't like holiness. My flesh likes a buzz. Guess what? Your nasty flesh likes that same kind of junk. Whether it's alcohol or drugs
or females. And guess what? Pornography's a buzz. Yeah. When all five of those chemicals get to dropping in your brain, and they do, that's a buzz. And it cuts off the frontal lobes of your brain, and all rational thinking and logical reasoning is done away with. When men get excited, they can't even think straight. There used to be a term when I was a kid that I won't use in church, and come see me after church, I'll be more than glad. I won't use it in a mixed congregation. Flesh likes flesh. The flesh likes itself. My flesh likes to look good. My flesh likes to appear good. You heard them old boys say, boy, you clean up good. How many of them boys, Steve, I seen them on Saturday night getting drunk, and then on Sunday, they look pretty good. Got that Bible in your hand. Mr. Denny and I worked over at that Fairfield Inn, and I won't care to mention his name. I kind of like the old black preacher. I kind of liked him, but he would have them crusades down in downtown Jacksonville. And man, I mean, it would get on, Steve. They had some pretty good wild services. But I was working in that motel over there in Jacksonville, Florida, and all them people that was working the platform and all them ushers, guess what? They were over there shacked up with whores over in that motel.
Yeah.
And going to church, and I went, I didn't ever know, Michael. I seen them, man. I said, man, they got it going on. And the next thing I know, I'm over there working, and here comes all these people in van loads, and they're all just swapping around from room to room with woman to woman. I'm going, you've got to be kidding. Flesh loves flesh, man. We all crave nastiness. But you know what? I love to come to church with my little church clothes. I even got some cologne. My wife had bought me some good old cologne. I like it. My flesh loves to smell good. If you're not real careful, Miss Debbie, I mean, if I wasn't with my wife every once in a while, Michael, I might would polish my halo. Make you think I was a little more something than I am. See, y'all look good this morning. You're sitting in the right place. And you got the right smile. And some of you's got the right clothes. But it's not what's coming out of your heart. God's listening to that old heart. You see, with my mouth, you do a pretty good job, boy, praising me. But your heart is far, far from me. See, God seen you last night. God seen you when you wasn't polishing your halo. God sees your flesh without all the fanciness and all the fronts and all the masks, all the facades. God sees all that. He sees down there underneath all them layers to that real person that you really are that loves stinking sin in your. You know what he did? He sent his son that you might have life. He sent his son to condemn sin in the flesh that you and I might go free. You and I can have power over this thing of sin. Would you believe this? And I'm trying to be done. Would you believe, ladies and gentlemen, give me a, I can't pull out one. I mean, that's WWE, but you know, just wave at me a little bit. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Would you believe my flesh likes religion? Yours does too. We love for people to think we're all right.
That's right.
Oh yeah. Man, I'm doing good. I'm up in the church, and man, praise God that you're here. But, man, I like that. Oh, that's good. Yeah, preacher, that's good. I've heard, man, I've had conversations. Man, preacher, that's good. Yeah. And I'm going, man, this flesh really likes religion.
Boy, he's spiritual. He really likes religion.
There's a deeper life, Michael.
But it ain't always fun, ladies and gentlemen, to do the right thing.
And you can put your little smile on and make it like it is all you want to. Sometimes, Miss Nick, you feel like rolling back over in that bed. Sometimes at 3:00 in the morning, you've worked all day, you got to work tomorrow, and the Spirit of God wakes you up and wants you to come sit at the feet of Jesus for a while. Sometimes in your flesh, you just kind of want to buck up. You go, God, it's just, I need to sleep. And
We don't like showing everybody how ungodly our flesh is. We like everybody to think that we got it all together. I went way over time. There's people that live after the flesh 8 days a week and yet break their neck to get to church. Preacher, I want to sing a special. And I ain't picking on nobody. Nobody does this here. I want to sing a special. And I've seen some pretty sorry people during the week and jump up around church. And I mean, they ain't had enough clothes on all week to cover a gnat's hind end. I said a gnat's hind end, not a gnat's body. And yet they want to jump up around church. Now, I made some real enemies, Miss Tanya, down there in Mississippi, because they'd go down there on Saturday night playing the honky-tonks. I mean, play the same guitar in the honky-tonks and then try to come up to the sanctified platform at the church and play that same guitar at the house of God. And I was so young and stupid, I'd say, get your tail off the platform. I'm not doing that in this house. Mm-hmm. This is sanctified. That piano is sanctified. You shouldn't play Hank Williams Jr. on that piano. Yeah. Merle Haggard don't belong playing on that piano. Ungodly music don't deserve to be coming through church speakers. No, friend, it's sanctified. It's separated. It's special. It's different. People live like the devil. It's amazing, man. Go to church. Woo, praise you, that's good.
That's right.
You know how many people go to church and leave and feel like they've done God a favor? That's what I'm talking about. Our flesh loves religion. You know how many people went to church today to get God off their back and feel like, man, I did my thing. Boy, I went to church. Yeah, man, I went to church. Oh, I went to church. Said, that's good, bud. You did God a real favor there. Here's what verse 5 says. They that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. Is Bible preaching spiritual? Bible preaching. Is Bible preaching spiritual? Is good church, gospel church singing spiritual? Mm-hmm. Is good Bible study spiritual?
Yeah.
I mean, really, man, for those that are led by the Spirit, ain't there something special about going to church? It's good, man. Whew. Boy, I love it. As sorry as I am, I love the house of God.
Yeah.
As sorry as I am, I love good Bible preaching, man. I like them hard. I like them soft. I like them loud. I like them quiet. If they plow in that word of God, man, I love it. Thank God. Hey, man, I love good church singing. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for hardly any gospel group in America, but I'll tell you, I love a good congregational singing. I love it when that local assembly gets together and they lift up their voice and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Man, there's something special about it. You hear me? There's some rejoicing in my soul trying to put on those shows. That Sunday school teacher said this morning, Miss Debbie, about God finds us faultless. Man, I'm telling you, there was a rejoicing in my soul when he said that. I got to thinking about how sorry I am and how sorry I've been. And if there's a God in heaven that doesn't impute my sin unto me, but he imputes righteousness on my account.
Yeah.
He sees me. He sees me through the blood, and I'm complete in him.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Gospel singing. Why you like it, preacher? Why you like church? Why are you going to drive all the way up to New York? Why are you going to drive all the way down to Georgia? Why are you going to run all the way to Florida? Why would you run all over this country to hear a man preach? Because he's a spirit of God that lives on the inside of me. And before I got saved, I wouldn't give you a bit for it. But I'm telling you, church, ever since God put his spirit in me, I can't get enough. I love that old Bible. I love Bible preaching. I love, thank God, godly singing. I love going to church. Amen. Love it.
That's right.
Love it.
Amen.
That's why, ladies and gentlemen, we run and do the things that we do, because there's a spirit that's leading us down on the inside.
Yes.
And I'll try to conclude and pick up in verse 6. Father, we thank you for this precious time this morning. Lord, you covered things that I had no clue of, and I want to thank you for it. Thank you, Lord God, for the precious word. I thank you, Lord, for the attentiveness of the congregation this morning. I pray, God, that you'd take this word and apply it to our hearts. And help us to apply it, dear God. And help us, Lord, to appropriate it. And help us, God, to grow in grace and knowledge and truth. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the food that we're about to eat. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.